You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've seen increases in spending in almost every sector with this budget, and a huge $20 billion is left unallocated by government to spend if things get worse. Economist Rod Oram joined me to discuss why he called this budget the same old, however. He started off by telling me who he believed were the winners and losers of this budget.
The budget was very well constructed in many respects. In terms of dealing with the extraordinary economic pressures on the country and making sure there's money and programs to help individuals, sectors, companies, all the way across society. So that's good. It seemed as though there was money for everybody, from e-commerce to the environment, and from defense to disabilities. Because there's an extraordinary sum of extra spending, $50 billion, of which $20 billion is still unallocated. In case things get worse, my view is that they will, here in New Zealand and around the world. So my overall concern, though, so I think everybody's a winner in that. But we're all losers in that this is money that's going to deliver just the same old, same old. And I thought it was quite an affront, really, to do nothing on climate change, but to come up with $1.1 billion for 11,000 jobs to deal with weeds, pests, and wilding pines, and eroding riverbanks. Those are all things that need to be done. But it's not dealing with the systemic issues. And I'm afraid this is the problem across all the response. It's just throwing money at the existing system and the existing failures of the system, which have been exacerbated by the COVID crisis, rather than trying to use some of that money to greater effect. Now, this issue is global and it's been tracked. So, for example, Vivid Economics in London, which is aligned with George Stern and London School of Economics and the Grantham Institute and others, so it's very much in that new economy, new climate economy nexus, has been tracking stimulus packages from around the world. And just about 90% of the money has been going into those sorts of programs I was just identifying. Only 11% is going into significant change, particularly around climate and sustainability issues. And that's heavily dominated by a few countries, particularly South Korea, where a large proportion of all its COVID stimulus package is actually focused around that. And I think, to me, that's future generations, and indeed those of us who are still living out this generation, are the losers in this budget. Now, in fairness to the government, dealing with COVID was immensely complicated. They had to make decisions with very little information, very fast changing, and they did that very well. Obviously, none of us, let alone them, have the bandwidth, the headspace to be able to be thinking deeply about the future, but there needed to be something there in the budget which connected all of that money to the future, even if it was in aspirational terms or skeletal terms or a little bit of architecture about how we might look at these issues, but absolutely nothing.
In terms of this budget, National has come out quite critical of the level of debt New Zealand is in from it. It's probably fair to say debt is unavoidable amongst the COVID-19 pandemic. In terms of debt, would you kind of say this is a reasonable level of debt given our circumstances?
It's an unbelievably meager level of debt. So we're starting from just under 20% of net debt to GDP, and we would get to 53% on the current trajectory. The UK is starting at 60% and heading north. The US is starting at 90% and heading north from there. National just plain doesn't understand some simple economics here. And at all times of very low interest rates and such low crown borrowing here in New Zealand, and the ability to have other stimulus through quantitative easing is sheer ignorance on their part, which maybe they're not ignorant, but if they aren't, they're just exploiting it for political advantage, or I think will backfire on them in terms of, you know, racking up their base. I'm afraid I've just got no patience with that at all. They are being quite economic Neanderthals.
Director of Bosher Consulting, Terry Bosher, then joined me. He speaks from a tax perspective and started off by telling me why he was so surprised by this budget in terms of the route government took on tax.
Slightly surprising in some cases. You know, obviously, there's a huge amount of money being thrown around, and the focus will be on that. And there's a lot of focus on that. From a tax perspective, most of all the initiatives had been announced beforehand. I was surprised we saw nothing more on tax, specifically about tax. Anything they talked about in the budget had already been announced. But you did think, well, three things. Firstly, they might give Inland Revenue more money to manage all of the extra workload it's going to get, because now it's administering the small business cash flow scheme. I mean, that in day one, kicked out $280 million to small businesses. And partly you'd give them extra money for that and extra money to be looking at compliance. That leads through to the second initiative, which we didn't think. There might have been something else, maybe an indication about what are we going to do about tax rates and thresholds, how long are we expecting them to stay, whatever. Maybe make some changes to abatement thresholds, where people get social assistance, such as working for families. And then finally, something about indicating we're going to have to pay for this at some stage. What, maybe not saying we're going to raise taxes on such and such a date, because there's an election later on this year, but might be saying we're going to ask Inland Revenue to be looking at certain initiatives. And there were none of those, which was, I found, surprising.
Something in terms of the tax conversation leading up to this budget was Simon Bridges really heavily questioning Jacinda during question time on whether she was going to implement a wealth tax and a capital gains tax. And as we know, Jacinda has made it very clear while she's prime minister, a capital gains tax isn't going to be implemented. In terms of those kinds of taxes, do you think they are kind of crucial things we should implement at the minute?
Capital gains tax, I think, is definitely off the table so long as Jacinda remains Prime Minister and leader of the Labour Party. She's made that very clear. But there's another reason why you might not want to go down the route of a capital gains tax. They are actually quite lumpy. It's what you might call a lumpy tax. It comes in lumps because it depends on a booming economy and people selling into a higher, because people sell, they think, I've realized my money, I'm going to redeploy my cash into something else that will grow for me. And if the economy goes flat, people hold on to the assets or they can't find a market to sell. The American, many of the American states, when the global financial crisis happened, their budgets took a dreadful hammering because they got used to tax revenues from capital gains taxes. Capital gains tax has a great degree of fairness to it because it taxes an area of the system which isn't happening right now. What governments like about tax revenue is it's regular and predictable. And capital gains tax, as I say, can be very unpredictable in some areas. And right now, for example, just how valuable long-term investments now are commercial properties, such as offices and large retail space. So capital gains have been being wiped off for quite some time from some of those owners there. I think CGT is something will be debated on issues of fairness, but as a tax measure which will actually be effective in terms of bringing in predictable revenue, I'm not so sure it's the answer. A wealth tax is more attractive in that regard. If you were then to say, but we're also going to be doing a rebalancing of the economy and this is about intergenerational fairness, you've got some pitches you can be making there on that. I think the wealth tax issue is not going to go away.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.